This is a special report from ABC News. Iran attacks Israel. I'm Dave Packer. Israel's war cabinet meeting today, but no final decision made regarding a response to Iran's Saturday night attack. Hundreds of drones and missiles fired from Iran, most intercepted by Israel and its allies before they reached Israel. ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
It has been interesting how much the U.S. has wanted to project that this was a unified global response in defense of Israel. The message from this White House has been that the international community was largely standing with Israel and actively working to defend Israel.
Meanwhile, today, an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council, Ambassador Robert Wood of the U.S.
The best way to prevent such escalation is an unambiguous condemnation from the Council of Iran's unprecedented large-scale attack and an unequivocal call on it and its proxies and partners to refrain from further violence.
This is ABC News. Oklahoma authorities have arrested four people in connection with the disappearance of two Kansas moms. Jillian Kelly and Veronica Butler were going to pick up Butler's children on March 30th, but they never arrived. They've been missing for nearly 2 weeks now after their car was found abandoned near the Oklahoma-Kansas border. ABC's Abby Ray in Wichita has more.
All four people arrested were booked into Texas County's jail for two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. OSBI says they're still looking for the Hugoton women, and the charges of those arrested is based off of evidence involved in the investigation.
And police say foul play is suspected. ABC News is among a group of five broadcast and cable news networks, along with major print, wire, and radio organizations, urging President Biden and former President Trump to debate this fall. Now, this move comes amid an election cycle in which debates have been met with uncertainty from both Biden and Trump. Dave Packer, ABC News.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Clean water advocates say they're happy with new, stricter PFAS standards for drinking water. More from Mike Moe.
On Wednesday, the EPA unveiled a final rule that for the first time sets a legally enforceable drinking water benchmark for PFAS chemicals all states will have to follow. Scientists have been highlighting health risks with more detection of PFAS in everyday products and water sources. Clean Water Action's Lynn Thorpe says they welcome the move, but stress it also serves as a wake-up call to manufacturers of these chemicals.
If we have to take this action and restrict them in drinking water, then we need to take equally aggressive action to keep the chemicals from getting into the water and the environment in the first place.
There is some concern from operators of public water systems who are fretting about costs to update facilities. However, officials note there's federal funding to help with the transition. Last year, Wisconsin adopted its own PFAS standards for drinking water, but the new federal rule is tougher, and state officials say they're taking steps to adopt them. Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republican-led legislature have been at odds over how to handle state funding to address PFAS. Thorpe says the latest action shows policymakers are taking this seriously.
I will say that the process has moved relatively rapidly, and I think that's a reflection of the seriousness of the problem.
Under the new rule, the EPA estimates between 6 and 10% of 66,000 public drinking water systems around the U.S. may have to take action to reduce PFAS. All of them have 3 years to complete initial monitoring, and if levels exceed the new standards, these systems must take corrective action within 5 years. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday, I'm joined by movie producer Bob Brown and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Chris Foran. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see sunny skies today. Cool temperatures in the upper 60s this afternoon. Northwest winds a little breezy. Tonight, clear in upper 30s. Winds becoming light. On Monday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Highs in the mid-60s, a little bit of rain. It's 66 at our studios.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this hour's Civic Media Spotlight, we head to Minot and the Mayor, where Jim and John were joined by Stacey Ryan to talk about her self-published book, 46 Days. Stacey tells her story of training for the Ironman Triathlon, being diagnosed and fighting cancer, and losing her husband.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Minot, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Minot and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Minot and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Minot the Mayor here in our third hour of the morning. A beautiful morning out there. 45 in Oshkosh, 45 in Appleton, 42 in Green Bay. What a beautiful... Yes, Todd?
I just wanted to mention this because we were talking about George Washington Carver.
Yeah.
And we did get a note from David who sent in a very long message, but basically saying Carver is often mistakenly credited with the invention of peanut butter. By the time Carver published How to Grow the Peanut... many methods of preparation of peanut butter had already been put in place.
Get him on the show.
I'll get right out of that, Jim.
Thanks. Thanks.
I just want to. I don't want to be ganging up on Jim. You know,
right?
He's so sensitive.
Oh man. We're with Stacey Ryan. She's the local author. She's. Do you still do triathlons or Ironman?
I swim, bike, and run just separately now.
Okay.
Come on. No more competing.
So you did. So how many miles swim was it?
For the Ironman,
yeah.
2.4 miles.
And then a marathon?
112-mile bike before that.
112-mile
bike. Yeah.
And then the marathon.
We got to do one of those.
I know.
That's you know, we got to do one of those. Can you do those with artificial hips?
You can do whatever you want. You have 17 hours to do it, so.
I don't know how to swim. Does that matter? Can you wear floaties?
Swimming's the toughest part. I mean, because people are kicking you in the head. You can practice at the Y till hell won't have it, but then you jump in with all you guys.
You're swimming with 2,000 people, yeah. And they're like, their feet are in your face. So, you get kicked. It's fine.
That's the most challenging, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think most people... most people can bike,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Can run.
Right.
They might want to not do those distances, but like swimming keeps a lot of people away from triathlons.
It does.
Can you wear floaties?
You wear a wetsuit. Come on, Mina.
Yeah. Right. Stacey Ryan is a self-published author, and she shared her really challenging story. It's called 46 Days, and we're kind of laughing about how athletic you are and what a passionate, optimistic person you are, but. Your husband was diagnosed with colon cancer, and a lot of people can be cured from that, but your husband, it was just too far down the road, and you lost your husband.
Right.
Did you ever give up hope?
Never. Though I can remember you guys when we went through the treatment, knowing that the prognosis was not good. We went right to the most aggressive treatment, so we knew that. And then 3 months or 3 treatments in, they said it's not working. So we knew, but it's not something that we talked about. we got into a trial at Mayo, knowing it's a trial.
Right.
And when they said this isn't working, and I literally called every hospital in the world to try to save my husband's life over that 6 month period of time, and did more research on that. And it was in June of 2020 where we got off the phone with a doctor in Philadelphia, and he said the same thing that we heard every time: there's nothing, you've done everything. And we stood up, and I can remember what, you know, this moment where, you know, we stood up and hugged each other, and my husband looked at me and he said, "We've done everything we can. Let's just live the best life that we have left together." And so we
that's strong. That is, he was looking out for you when he did that.
Oh, the hundreds of conversations that John Ryan and I had on our patio that year were about, where should Stacy live? You know, what opportunities I have in this world to give. And those conversations I knew he needed to have with me, because he was planting seeds in my head. It was the most challenging conversations to sit there with, talking about things about my future without him. And it was so hard to imagine. I mean, me meeting someone, all these conversations, and to go kick ass, sorry, in this world, but...
Oh, we've heard worse on the show.
Okay, good.
John pays the fine. So this 46 days, where does that start? Where does it end?
So in February of 2021, so this is about 2 months after my husband passed away, things were starting to, you know, I got my thank you cards done, and, you know, it was still COVID times, and I was having people sleep over in my little bubble of people I had, but people had their own lives, and they, you know, everything was going back to normal for them, and my normalcy was, there was none.
Way gone.
And so...
whole new world you were entering.
For sure. And one of the conversations that I just spoke about, one of them, you know, John said, just get away for a while after all of this. It's, you need to just get away. So... we already had sort of this girls trip planned later in February in Florida. And I thought, you know, I gotta go now. And I just made this decision. I did some research, and, you know, I told all my friends. I was never alone on my 46 day adventure. I had friends flying in, driving with, staying with me, because being alone wasn't, you know, I shouldn't be driving around the world, you know, by myself in the state of mind I was in. So I was super grateful. So I talk about all of that. Mm-hmm. But it was in February, and I didn't have a grand plan. I just packed up his truck with every piece of workout equipment I own and a few other miscellaneous things that I talk about in the book, and left and drove down to Florida. So I was from Wisconsin to Florida to Colorado in that 46-day time frame.
Wow. By yourself?
Never by myself.
Okay, great. Oh, that's
so. That's what I'll talk about. Like, who was with me, and the impact that they had on this journey while I was trying to figure out what to do. And I, all the things that I tried during that 46 days, it allowed me all these things I could have done at home. Okay, but my husband, he died in our house, and it was such a long, suffocating year. I needed to escape that and be in a space where there's sunshine and fresh air and the sound of the ocean, where I could focus 100% of my energy on how to figure this out, this healing process.
Did you still work out? And was that a part of it?
Oh, it was such a part of it. Like,
because I know they recommend that for people sometime. If you're having mental issues, that doing things and I physically can really help, right?
I talk about that in my book and how the value of that saved my life.
Okay.
Well, there's people who go the other way.
And absolutely, that's, you know, so we were talking when we were off air, the things that I did in my 46 days and what I've done since then, these are things that I did that worked for me. And some of them, you know, they're important things in life to stay healthy and may help others, but it's not, everybody has to find their own path.
What why 46? I mean, that's not a long time. And did you get an epiphany? What happened on this 46th day?
It was more of, it was time to come home. I couldn't escape forever. And right? I didn't even know how long I was going to be gone when I left. Right. So it was just at that time I was in Colorado with family and doing the same thing there. And I thought, all right, I have to figure this out. I learned a lot in these last couple of days, and I journaled through that time. And I share those journal entries in my book, which is like super raw stuff, you know, but writing this book was challenging as well, because I had to relive some of the stuff that I had already gotten stronger at. But I thought, you know what, for me to be vulnerable on paper and for other people, this is why I'm doing this, because I want other people out there to know they're not alone, because this is like we said before, life is hard. People are, you know, faced with challenges, and your challenges don't have to be the same as mine. I mean, I get feedback on people who listen to my podcast or have now read my book on they have different life experiences, or they don't even have had any life experiences, mm-hmm. but it's preparing them to be, you know, I guess prepare them to be that glass half full.
And you're speaking from the heart with this. It's not like you're, I have a doctorate in such and such, such and such.
Oh, no, I have a disclaimer in there.
You've got, this is right from the heart with
no. This is very, you know, yeah, it's 100% from
the heart. And I think people, those books are out there, right? I mean, people who've lost people have written in there. They're, I'm not going to say it's an easy read, but it's not, it's something that, I don't want to say enjoyable read either, but it's something that you can really sit down and read that in a few days, right? I don't know how, I haven't read your book yet. I'm sorry,
so,
but.
You know, my book series, when I decided to do all this, you guys, the three things that you described me as, the Iron Man, the cancer survivor, and a widow, I broke that into three different books basically because they're short reads. Because I felt like if you took one book and just absorbed that, and it's a short read, it's 100 pages.
Right.
So, people can get it, they're getting it done in less than 2 hours, and it's my voice. It, you know, I'm the editor. I hired a proofreader to say, look, this isn't supposed to be a professional written book. I want, you know, the quotes to be the quotes. I want the words to be my words so that it is authentic. It is
absolutely.
From my heart.
Absolutely.
And I think they're each short enough reads that then
nobody's trying to take your feelings, your words, and put them in his little world and write it out there. Oh. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's why these are the best books there are.
And I just want to accentuate that as well, is that it's healthy to read these books, and it's not a novel. I mean, and I've read a couple of those because we all have some challenges, and to hear them firsthand from people like you who've gone through that long road, and here you are. I mean, you look great. You seem...
Thank you.
Very happy.
I am. You know, it took a lot of work the last 3 years, but I'm finally me again. I am happy in life. My husband said hundreds, probably thousands of times that he wanted me to live my best life, and he wanted me to live it with purpose. And at the time, I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. But I feel like I found my purpose. My purpose is to share my story. And wherever this goes after this, I don't even have a grand plan. Right now, my focus for 2024 is to get all three books published. I have my podcast. I have two seasons done. I know where I'm going to go with
it next.
What's
the name of it? How can we find that?
Whole New Life.
Whole New Life.
So Whole New Life is the name of my book series and my podcast.
Okay.
Which, that was kind of an epiphany that I came up with when I started this whole idea of, I can write a book. Because I was talking to another friend of mine who is sadly also a widow, and we were talking, and we lost our husbands young, and we are young ourselves, and we're like, we could literally live a whole new life, like another 30 healthy years, mm-hmm. which is how long we were with our husbands. So that's where this all came from, is a whole new life.
That's phenomenal. How do we find your book?
You can find it on my website.
Okay.
Because that's the easiest place right now. I'm selling it myself through my distributor.
Website is?
StacyRyanAuther.com.
Beautiful. StacyRyanAuther.com. Fantastic. Stacy, thank you for
sharing
this.
That. It was awesome.
And thanks for what you're doing to help other people.
Oh my gosh. My pleasure to be here. Can I become a DJ now? Can I add this to my list? Can we do this weekly? Because this is kind of fun.
You got to get a tattoo.
Oh, I already have some.
I know. I saw those.
These are all new.
Stacy, you're awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. My
wonderful.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Stacy.
Mind of the Mayor, back after this. Release your inhibitions.
Feel the rain on your Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufix started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufix charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. If you like what you hear from these segments across the Civic Media Network, be sure to download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded on your smartphone device to never miss a show. We now head to the Earl Ingram Show, where Earl discusses the new movie coming out this weekend, Civil War, and what it represents for the rising tensions between Americans.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, I was talking about this new movie called The Civil War that is opening in theaters across the nation and clearly going to be, you know, one of the best movies of the year. And so it's talking about America today. Not the Civil War of yesterday, but the fact that we are facing a civil war inside of this nation as we speak. Americans are worried. These divisions have led citizens to doubt the future of our system of government. In March, a Grinnell College national poll found 25% of respondents believe American democracy will come to an end during their lifetime. Now, that seems to be a shocking number. Yes, it tracks with other surveys in recent years, a poll in 2022. YouGov and The Economist found more than 40% of Americans believe a civil war in the United States is likely or somewhat likely in the next decade. That number goes up to 54% for self-describing strong Republicans. Now, when you think about the types of armaments that average citizens have in this nation, and so unlike muskets and the types of weapons that were had and in hand during the Civil Wars, the Civil War, clearly there's something to be concerned about. And there should be an open dialogue and discussion about it. Now, does it matter, you know, who wins or loses if this occurs? And everything seems to be pointing in that direction. You know, it's not so much the North against the South anymore. Although clearly a lot of the movement and the, you know, organizing and let's get back to states' rights is still there. Vestiges of what transpired and what led to the Civil War still exists in this nation. Make no mistake about it. 844-967-2789. Both Republicans and Democrats are talking about authoritarianism. And we have a person who clearly is in a position and has the thought processes and the minds of a segment of our population that believes in him. The House Republicans are in total disarray. You know, here's a man, and you really should add up all these different things, and you can easily come to an understanding that this is not hyperbole. The Republican Party cannot organize itself to do anything that's going to be in the interest of the nation. Anything that needs to be done and any laws that need to be passed that are going to be beneficial for the American people, then there's a guy named Donald Trump who is controlling a segment of Republicans in the House. You're going to talk about authoritarianism. A man who's not even the president of the United States has control over our elected officials in Congress. Just try to wrap your mind around that. And everybody knows it. And everybody sees it. And so elected officials, Congress people who've been, and senators who've been elected by the United States people, the people of the United States, to do their bidding, can't get those elected officials to do what's in the best interest of the people because there's a man who is not the president of the United States. He's a citizen. He's a guy running for the office, the highest office in the land. And I could understand if once he became that he had control over those elected officials. But for heaven's sakes, he's the puppet master, and they're the puppets. And anybody who doesn't think that there's something wrong with that, I don't know. You're blind that a man who's running for office can control many members of Congress is not a good sign. And I know sometimes, we think that these things are out of our control. Well, what can I do about it? Well, number one, not be silent. You can't be silent. As long as you are silent, then, we're headed down a road that is going to, there's going to be a collision course. The collision course is set. Those who call themselves Republicans, the ones that, are MAGA Republicans and are elected, they know what their marching orders are. They're following a man who points his finger and he tells them how high to jump. He tells them what direction to go in. He tells them what they can say and what they can't say. He tells them what laws they can pass and what laws they shouldn't pass. You want to talk about authoritarianism? It's right before our eyes. And I know, nothing I say is going to change that reality. But The Civil War, a new movie that is going to be released to theaters across this nation this Friday, as I started my conversation, I plan on being there. First time I've been to a movie in 10 years. But this one has my interest, and I'll be there. 844-967-2789 is the number. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is a special report from ABC News. Iran attacks Israel. I'm Dave Packer. Israel's war cabinet meeting today, but no final decision made regarding a response to Iran's Saturday night attack. Hundreds of drones and missiles fired from Iran, most intercepted by Israel and its allies before they reached Israel. ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
It has been interesting how much the U.S. has wanted to project that this was a unified global response in defense of Israel. The message from this White House has been that the international community was largely standing with Israel and actively working to defend Israel.
Meanwhile, today, an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council, Ambassador Robert Wood of the U.S.
The best way to prevent such escalation is an unambiguous condemnation from the Council of Iran's unprecedented large-scale attack and an unequivocal call on it and its proxies and partners to refrain from further violence.
This is ABC News.
The Brewers lose to the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew losing to the Orioles in Baltimore today 6-4, but Milwaukee wins the series 2-1. Last night, Jake Bowers, top of the fourth.
Bowers, right center, deep. Santander back! Gone! The Brewers have the lead! What a bomb from Bowers!
Bally Sports Wisconsin, a three-run shot, made it 8-5. The Brewers went on to win 11-5 over Baltimore. Milwaukee now off to its best start since 1989 and 1982 when they went to the World Series.
Yeah, we had great at-bats. Guys are setting the bar pretty high for themselves, you know, how to conduct ABs, and hopefully our young guys will keep learning from the guys doing it. Bowers' home run, so great to get him off the schneid and get his first one out of the way, and he's played such brilliant defense, and I'm really proud of him. You know, he's a great kid, and that homer was huge.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Clear tonight. We're going to drop down to 35 for an overnight low. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 10. On Monday, another nice day, partly cloudy. 64 for a high. We'll drop to 42 on Monday night. Cloudy with rain. It'll be windy and colder on Tuesday with a high of only 58. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, we're talking credit scores. I mean, we all know we're supposed to have a good one, but what is a credit score? It's a number rating how likely you are to pay back a loan. Anytime you use credit, you know, like your credit card or a mortgage, the info about what you borrowed and when you paid it gets sent to three credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They track every transaction and compile detailed financial information on every single American. I mean, a little creepy, am I right? And they rate you on a scale from 300 to 850. Over 670 is good, and over 800 is excellent. Then the bureaus sell your rating to anybody who's thinking about lending you money, and you get a better or a worse deal based on your score. Best way to keep that score up is pay your bills on time. This is Carrie Joy from Work Money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. Take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Letting someone else live their life in a way that you may not agree with, guess what? That's American. That's what we get to do here. We don't get to place our religious beliefs in a position of governmental endorsement so that we can exclude others from our educational systems, from our boardrooms. That ain't American. It isn't the Wisconsin that I know either.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Up next on this hour's Civic Media Spotlight, we head to Central Wisconsin for a segment from the Chad Holmes Show, where Chad was joined by Wausau School Board member-elect Sarah Marie Brock.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We are talking to Sarah Marie Brock, newly elected to the Wausau School Board. She'll be taking her seat on the board coming up next
22nd.
Week and a half. Almost 2 weeks. But let's talk a little bit about some issues. I think one of the issues that's been discussed is the superintendent and, mm-hmm. and the board decided, maybe I'm wrong, but an interim superintendent that could be permanent at some point.
I think that's how I understand it as well. And there's a lot of things where I'm going to understand more once I actually get into place. But I think from a school perspective, when you use the word interim, you are certainly implying temporary. But typically with interim positions, there is the possibility.
And your thoughts in terms of, a significant mm-hmm. Move, Cale Bushman being mm-hmm. Named the interim, and he's obviously been around the district and Wausau West mm-hmm. More specifically recently. Were you okay with this coming into it?
So I think with his experience and love for the community, that's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. I think he's got some special education experience as an instructor, which tells me that he prioritizes all of our students, which I think is really important. He's got kids in the district, and that can be both a plus and a minus. Obviously, you want to make sure that somebody can feel their feelings, but also put those aside for the bigger, the needs of the whole community. Mm-hmm. And I think with his history and what he's shown so far, I think we give him a chance. I'm excited to try to work with him. He actually reached out to me fairly quickly after the election with just a quick email. Mm-hmm. So I responded to him, and I'm looking forward to the first time we sit down.
Beyond that, and then getting into, again, meat and potatoes issues mm-hmm. when it comes to the district, I think that we have moved past the idea of consolidation of the high schools. I think now I think they're calling it the footprint mm-hmm. of the elementary mm-hmm. schools is what's being focused on. And then generally, dollars and cents. And this week, we heard talk about starting a process to get some feedback when it comes to a potential referendum because there is a shortfall. There's a lot there.
There is a lot there.
But the dollars and cents, and frankly, Wausau is not alone when it comes to the issues when it comes to dollars and cents, because for the past, you call it a decade and a half, schools have been funded inadequately, and that leads to a lot of problems. But at the same time, when you hear the word referendum right now in Wausau, that's
a little bit of a trigger word.
Yes, it is. So I guess let's talk just generally.
Sure.
From what you know, you said you go to the meetings, and you've been following, and you've been doing a lot of research before you take officially your seat on the board. Economically, where is the district right now?
So I think it's fairly safe to say that Wausau, like nearly every district in the country, is facing the same big systemic issues. Public education in this country is tragically underfunded. Going back to when I was a student, to when I was a teacher, to when I was a principal, to now. And yet education is, for me, and the big core reason that I ran is that education is that thing in our society that can make the biggest difference across the board in mm-hmm. terms of societal issues. If we have a educated, informed, loving population that addresses or begins to address so many societal issues and concerns, we know that education is underfunded. Nobody is shocked. We know that for the most part, when we have to start talking about things like classroom size and teacher training and making sure that our students have what they need across the board in terms of facilities and supplies and curriculum and caring, loving, highly qualified teachers and administrators and all of those things, and access to the arts and access to sports and mm-hmm. access to extracurriculars, all of those things that build a well-educated, well-rounded human being. Mm-hmm. Money's a problem. And money is... Nobody likes to talk about money.
Right.
And there's only so many ways that a school, especially a public school, can get funds.
it goes back to what you were talking about earlier about the trust mm-hmm. as well. I mean, when you talk about going to the community and asking
right.
for money, for taxpayer money, that's why the trust aspect is vital.
So important.
And I imagine that's, again, why you're going to start basically running
right.
when you get
on the first thing we need to do is even find out. Well, we need to find out where the public is mentally and emotionally in terms of, is there even a willingness to further support their schools? And I think what the truth comes down to is the public is very willing to support education in its community. Where they start to get frustrated is when they feel like they are giving for a specific reason or even a group of specific reasons, mm-hmm. and what they give is not respected or utilized in the way that they expected it to be. So I think starting with some general surveying to kind of find out what the attitude and emotional feeling of the community is the right place to start. I think common sense tells us a lot about how the community is feeling right now. We know that. And I think this is where authenticity and openness in terms of communication is going to be critical. The board and the community and the school district has to be very clear about why we need the money, how much money we need, where that money would go, how it would be used. And the word transparent probably cannot be used enough
right.
in this conversation. I think WASA knows that education matters. I believe that WASA wants our schools to be strong. I believe they want our schools to take care of our students in the best possible way. And I think they're smart enough to know that that takes money. And I think they know that schools are underfunded, that teachers are underpaid, that support staff are underpaid. So that's not the disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
I think the disconnect we're going to have to address is rebuilding the trust with the board so that when, and I'm going to say we, I'm mm-hmm. not there yet, but we,
right.
So that if and when we come forward and say, we need your financial support, they trust that we're going to use it in the way that we say we're going to use it.
Again, we're talking to Sarah Marie Brock, the newly elected WASA school board member, member-elect here on Bow Falls Radio. Let's talk about the elementary school footprint, because the process is continuing. And again, maybe I like to say this as well, because again, I'm just from the outside mm-hmm. watching some of this, that some of the issues that may have bubbled up when it came to high schools and junior high schools could possibly, because again, there's always an idea about something and then we get to specifics. How do you look at this process? How do you feel maybe generally in terms of what should occur, but also trying to make sure that within the process that mm-hmm. there is enough discussion and that everybody's voice is heard.
Right.
I think there may be a thought that, hey, that maybe the footprint should be smaller, but at the same time, then you have specific families and students that get affected that will have some of the same,
absolutely.
I think, questions that
absolutely.
We saw previously. So, what's your general thought on the whole idea of the consolidation and footprint smaller?
Footprint smallening?
Yeah, I know. I'm a terrible use
right.
of words with the elementary schools.
So I think when we spoke last time, they had just brought on the demographer. They had just agreed to a contract with them.
Yeah.
So there's going to be we don't necessarily know what we don't know yet, if that makes any sense.
It does.
In that we're still, we need to collect the data. We need to give that focus group, which is not going to be made up of board members, it's going to be made up of community members, a chance to look at what that data is once it's put together. And I don't know what they'll bring to us. I do know that I think as a community, we need to make sure we're prioritizing children over buildings
mm-hmm.
and safety and quality of facilities and things like that. And I have lived on the Southeast side. I'm a proud Southeast sider since I've lived in WASA. And, you know, I love our neighborhood school. I love watching the kids walk to school and things like that. And I empathize with every family who feels that way about their neighborhood school. And I think it's important to recognize that those feelings and those loyalties,
mm-hmm.
They're real. And they deserve to be listened to and respected. But we are WASA, and we are a community, and we need to make sure that we are listening to the data, listening to the experts, and figuring out what is best for our community as a whole. And I don't know what that's going to be yet. I do know that it's important that we pay attention to things like class sizes and making sure that students have resources that they need, and needing to make sure that they have access to support systems and extracurriculars at all levels. And when you start, you know, we talked about, right, money as being a massive systemic issue, so is declining enrollment. This is not a Wausau or a Wisconsin thing. This is a national thing where schools all over the country are dealing with reductions in enrollment and having to make some of these hard decisions. So we have to, this is another place where people here are smart and they know things, and we should have those conversations with them. They should know, what does it mean when I say declining enrollment? What are those actual numbers? And what does the projections look like a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now? Because those are questions that we have to ask ourselves before we make big decisions. It should never be, oh, today I'm feeling like everybody should wear blue and close this school. I don't.
Right, right. Bottom line is, you know, we have about 3.5 minutes to go, and I want to kind of hit a couple of final points here. We, the world went through a seismic shake in 2020, 2021, and we've seen some of the results in terms of student testing scores and what they've, and maybe some of the loss that came within education during those years that we're still trying to catch up with. When you look at trying to make sure that the students in the Wausau schools are getting the best education possible and trying to, you know, for lack of a better term, catch up, is there anything that we should be thinking about just in that realm? Because as you said, the bottom line is making sure our students are educated, are able to take the next steps, whether to college or to the workforce.
And competitive and productive and all of those wonderful things. So we talked earlier about the most recent board meeting, and one of the things that came up at the most recent board meeting was that we're taking a really hard look at changing our early literacy curriculum. Some research was done, and the one that the Wausau district is using did not get great points. And that's a concern, obviously. And so they are taking that concern, and they are looking for alternatives, and they are coming with recommendations. I don't think you can I don't think you can overstate the importance of early childhood education. They are sponges at that age. They are beautiful little sponges. And when we can make sure that the food that they are absorbing as the little sponges that they are is high quality and can set them up for success as they go down the line, I think that's a huge thing. Obviously, I was a teacher for about 10, 12 years, and it was pre-pandemic teaching. So I do want to say, talking about things like catching up with reading and math, these are not new conversations. Did COVID and the pandemic and those huge seismic things that we went through affect? Absolutely. But we have been dealing with students struggling, and we in a national sense, not a local sense, dealing with students struggling in reading and math and critical thinking and things like that for a very long time. You know, when we had our school for highly at-risk kids in Arvada, Colorado, we were planning on only being a high school. And yet our ninth graders were coming in 2 to 3 grade levels below in English and 5 to 6 grade levels below in math. And that was back in, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010. So these are conversations that are so important to have. How are our students doing? How can we help them do better? Yes, absolutely, we need to look at the data that came out during the pandemic and before and after, but it's a bigger conversation. We need to make sure that we are constantly reevaluating and looking at what our students need to be successful and competitive and take their place in the world.
You got a lot of work to do.
We do. We all do.
Yes, you all do. The thing, and I guess finally, for you and for everybody else that either ran for the board or serving on the board, such a vital piece of what a community is. And I thank you for doing that. I thank everybody else who's part of that board as well. And as you said, look forward to having you back, hopefully on a regular basis, talking about these issues. But again, congratulations and good luck as you start the new job.
Thank you so much. And thank you to the community again. I appreciate it.
Sarah Marie Brock joining us here on Bow Falls Radio. We'll take a quick time out and come right back here on Bow Falls Radio.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We wrap up this weekend's edition of Civic Media Spotlight with a segment from The John and Gordy Show, where John and Gordy were live on location at Short Stack Eatery and had a guest appearance by a broadcaster in training, Zenit.
I'm back!
Hey!
All right. Oh, yeah, you got it like that, huh? That'll get you up in the morning.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Yes.
We are live from Short Stack Eatery. John and Gordy, Catherine Lake is with us, and we have a special guest who's just joined us.
We do. Stop by and I had a couple of shortcakes.
Get right up on that microphone there, young man. What's your name?
I'm Zenon.
Zenon? Great name. Great
name.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Zenon?
Right here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah?
All right.
And what did you order for breakfast here from Short Stack?
The Short Stack chocolate chip pancakes. Can't get any better than that.
Have you been here before?
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah? You live nearby here?
Yeah, about a mile away.
Excellent.
Right. What grade are you in?
Eighth.
All right.
I noticed you and your dad. Is that your dad over there?
Yes.
Okay. And you guys came in here and ordered up, and you were looking over here, so we thought we'd just invite you to come out and, you know, sit with us for a while.
We're almost afraid to ask, but do you listen?
No, I've never listened to the station.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Would you like to get into radio someday, maybe?
Yeah, I've always had an interest in public broadcasting. I run the morning announcements at my education
place. Do you
place.
Really?
No kidding. That's fantastic. Yeah.
So you do the morning announcements every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a typical announcement that you might have.
Yeah. What's a hot topic?
Yeah, we might audition
at,
you.
At
you,
your
you
school.
Who knows?
At your school.
Yeah.
I'll let you know what clubs are going on.
Okay.
National holidays that, for example, like National Waffle Day or Turtle Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe you could replace Gordy's morning
I'm
feature.
Ready to retire, so right. Maybe because I do a lot of that.
Yeah, he does that
on our
thing.
Show.
On our show, we go through all of the national days.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you go to the national calendar online?
I do.
The national day calendar?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Weather report this morning.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's a high of 67, 47% humidity, and a UV index of 5 out of 11, with a sunrise at 6:23 a.m. and a sunset at 7:34.
That's perfect. Right. Zenon, you know,
I'm leaving.
Not only could you radio, you might be a TV weather person someday.
Oh.
What would you think about that?
Don't do
That'd be amazing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I say don't do it because look at him. All right.
I was a TV weatherman before
TV
I got
weatherman.
Into it. Yeah, for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people say. Wow.
And he played a rodent.
That's a whole nother story. I had Groundhog Day?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the movie, by the
way? Of
course. Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
So he took off on the groundhog by being a rodent.
Oh.
Who predicted the weather?
Wonderful.
Yes.
Again, that's perfect. Zenon, so how old are you?
I am 14.
All right. 14. Yeah. Great.
I got a
14-year-old daughter I want to introduce you to.
Yeah.
Oh. Good dating. Well, Zenon, thank you for joining us. Yeah. I think your pancakes are just... What did you order?
Short stack of chocolate chip pancakes.
Oh, man. You're going to enjoy those.
Definitely.
So, yeah. You know, when you get on the mic at the school, aren't you a little nervous? You might, you know...
I was definitely nervous the first time, but, yeah. You know, yeah. you get comfortable. It's only 800 kids.
Do you have a partner?
No, it's all me.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, fantastic.
Well, listen, we'd like to get your name and address and have you fill out an application. And perhaps you could be working at Civic Media and be our junior reporter or something.
I'd love to.
Would you?
Yeah, that'd
Let's
be great.
Let's figure something out. We got a T-shirt for you over here.
Oh,
okay?
Wow, that looks beautiful. It's big. Thank you so much.
Right. And, Dad, thanks for letting us talk to Zenon. Yeah. We appreciate that. Yeah. This is really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's been a pleasure.
Very good, Zenon.
Great name. I like the name.
Yeah.
Thank you. Zenon.
How do you spell that?
Z-E-N-O-N.
Zenon. Does that mean, is that a family name?
Yes, it is. My great-great uncle, and it means of the gods or relating to Zeus in ancient Greek.
Isn't that something? Zenon. Wow. You've been a terrific guest.
Thank you so much. You've been terrific
impressed.
Hosts.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We appreciate it. We're going to let you get back to Dad over there and have your... I see your breakfast is sitting at the table there, so we don't want to let that get cold. Zenon, thank you very much. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
You have something else to add, John? Well,
no, that's it. But,
all right. You know, just put the headphones
on. I feel like our jobs are threatened at this point.
He's going to be taking over here next week, live from Short Stack Eatery.
That's right. Okay. Let's get to the story I built. You know, okay. I talked about it for 5 minutes, and I never got to the story.
Okay, what was it again? I forgot.
I don't know anymore. Actually, no. It's billionaires putting money into the MAGA fund. Okay.
Yes.
They're the ones influencing what's going on in politics.
Yes.
Anybody, please. Anyway, this is a young guy on Twitter X who posted this, and I think it's very interesting. Check this out, okay?
Okay.
Donald Trump is holding a billionaire fundraiser because he's broke and desperate to pay his legal fees. So we did some digging into who is going to this event, and just look at this. This guy, John Castamatidis, he compared taxes on the wealthy to Hitler killing Jews. And his businesses have been forced to pay millions of dollars for screwing over workers. This is another Trump donor at this event, Robert Mercer. He opposes the Civil Rights Act of 1964, calling it a major mistake. This guy, another billionaire, John Paulson, he wants to cut your Social Security. So he's funding Trump's campaign, and he wants to take away your retirement. This is Pepe Fonhol. He refused to fire his assistant, who was married to two KKK leaders, funding Trump's campaign. This person, Jamie McCourt, she pocketed over $10 million in stock shares before the public was made aware of COVID severity. All while Trump was downplaying the virus. Remember that? This is Trump donor Jeffrey Yass. He has so far avoided $1 billion in taxes, and he wants to privatize your Social Security. Trump wants to give him a tax break. This is Trump donor Harold Hamm. He is an oil baron. He has said that scientists that are researching climate change are going to cost him a lot of money. Of course, Trump wants to give him everything that he wants at the expense of our planet. This is Wilbur Ross. He made his fortune laying off American workers and using bankruptcy to take away retirees' health benefits. Oh, and by the way, he served in Trump's cabinet. He was our commerce secretary. Hmm. This is Trump donor Mike Hodges. He has openly bragged about how his donations to Trump helped him fend off regulations so that he could screw over working Americans and get rich. And there's a lot of other scammers, racists, and extremists that I could list. But the point is, Donald Trump is desperate. He is being badly outraised by Joe Biden. So these are his billionaire besties that he's turning to for help. And if you think that he won't be beholden to them in a second term, you are gravely mistaken. We have to get out and vote in November. The stakes are too high to sit this out.
Very good point.
Well, a list of billionaires.
And bad people.
Bad people.
Really bad people.
John and Gordy and Catherine Lake. At Short Stack Eatery, coming up, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. He is back on it.
No.
We'll tell you about it, coming up.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
everybody. Todd Allbault, Monday, noon to 2. Will Matt Flynn run for Supreme Court? We'll find out. Join us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Iran attacks Israel. I'm Chuck Sievertson. Iran's attack last